Because water noose? Oh, God. Oof. What a horrifying thing to, like, water noose was somebody's monster.
I know.
It's the giant spider thing.
Like, water noose
thing.
And Randall. Like, I understand if you're one of those kids that keeps geckos as pets.
Mm-hmm.
I, though, was terrified of lizards. I am still terrified of lizards. Could you imagine just a giant lizard man just walking up to me? Oh, my God. That would make me piss my pants.
Yeah. And welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie. And I know just enough about Doctor Who to still be able to sit with the cool kids, but get respect from the nerds.
And today we're looking at Series 6, Episode 9, Night Terrors.
Ooh.
Right? 6-9, that's the sex number.
Hey.
Yeah. This is Night Terrors. This is actually...
Does that mean everybody's going to start pissing themselves in their bed?
The funny thing about this is, of all the... like, up until now, I had a really... like, at least a really, like, good memory of every episode that we were going to rewatch. This is the first one where I went, I do not remember this one at all.
So that means you did not like it the first time you watched it.
I rewatch. Well, I will say it's not one I revisit a lot, because it's another spooky episode. This is a Doctor Boo.
A Doctor Boo.
Yeah, this is another horror episode. And those aren't always my favorite, unless they're like Blink, where they're just like so good that they sort of transcend the genre.
Wimp.
It's just not my cup of tea, that's all. And so I had just kind of like filed this one away. Like, when I watched it, I was like, oh, I do remember this one. But I hadn't, it wasn't one that I revisited a whole lot. It wasn't one that like jumped out at me, but I did enjoy it on my rewatch. So I'm curious what your opinion of it will be.
So when you say another spooky episode, what do you count then as spooky episodes?
So we're talking like Blink, I think, is a pretty obvious one.
Duh.
Silence
in the Library?
Yeah, I would say Silence in the Library probably counts. Again, that one kind of transcends, though. Are You My Mummy? Those ones.
The Doctor Dances?
Yeah, The Doctor Dances.
No, that's not scary. Because everybody lived.
You know, we've had a couple here and there. They're not super common, but I think that's why they usually stand out.
I want one that pause. You said that's why they stand out. You didn't remember this one existed.
Not this one. This is
this
the exception,
is not
obviously.
A standout then.
This is the exception to that rule, I suppose. So you were just about to say that you hope one of these will genuinely scare you.
I want to piss myself.
All right. Well, this one, that's a good segue into the Cassie Profassi today.
Oh, jeez.
Because this episode,
how much will I piss myself?
Because this episode, the Doctor says that he's going to take Amy and Rory to, quote, the scariest place in the universe.
My mom. The house.
Knowing this Doctor and how he's written, where do you think the scariest place in the universe might be, Cassie?
My mom's house. May or may not be haunted, like, actually, for real. Gee, Zach, I don't know. I don't know what this Doctor thinks is actually scary. Like, commitment seems to frighten him, but I doubt they'll be going into any churches.
They have to go to the courthouse.
Yeah. Like, they go to
the scariest place in the universe.
The DMV.
The IRS.
Yeah, equal and different answers.
Yes, both three-letter agencies.
Both horrible. Never want to go to the IRS or the DMV.
To the scariest place in the universe. Dinner with the family.
Oh, my God. The scariest place in the universe. The backside of water.
The scariest place in the universe, Six Flags.
Actually, though, I'm kind of cheating. I want to see if the thumbnail gives me any tips. Ugh. No, I don't know. scariest place. Can I get like a hint?
Keep in mind that the doctor is a man of whimsy. This doctor is a very like whimsical character.
So my mom's house is an actual like legitimate answer. I don't think they're going to Kentucky though.
I will say I really struggled to come up with questions for this episode because so much of the episode is sort of like a build up to a mystery thing. And I didn't want to give any of that away. So I was like, well, I'll just put in some goofy questions here. Cassie probably will not be able to guess these answers, but at the very least, we'll have some fun talking about it.
Scariest place in the universe. What scares this doctor? Can I ask that? Can I answer your question with a question?
I'll put it that way. It's not necessarily that it scares the doctor. It's what anyone would find scary. What anyone might have found scary at one point in their life. Clowns. They just go to the circus. They go back to the same circus.
The psychic circus. Well, because I was going to say, oh, like the hospital. But Rory is literally a nurse.
Yeah. The morgue.
So that checks out. Yeah.
A cemetery.
I am leaning more towards that, though. Like a funeral home or something like that.
Okay, we can accept that as a category.
I think so, just because I'm trying to think of like what would be like on its face kind of scary place to go.
Yeah, like cemetery, mausoleum, funeral something, home.
Can I just say death related?
Sure, that'll work. Death related. And also in this episode, there is a landlord who has a dog. Can you guess what breed the dog is, Cassie?
Are you fucking with me?
I can't begin to tell you how much I struggled coming up with questions for this episode. It is not an easy one to come up with fassies for.
Are you serious? What kind of dog?
Yeah, what kind of dog?
Can I ask the size?
I'd put it on medium-ish.
So not a Maltipoo. Okay. Medium-ish?
Yeah. Like if you were to give a landlord a dog, what would you picture in your mind?
Oh my God.
You as a filmmaker.
Me as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
Would you consider a pug medium-ish?
I think those are usually pretty small.
You can have like tall, skinny pugs.
I mean, I put them on the small to medium side.
Okay.
For the purposes of this question, no.
Medium-ish.
Plus, we've talked enough about dogs on this show. I feel like there should be some kind of dog Doctor Who wavelength for you now.
That's me trying to like connect. I'm trying to commune with the dogs.
Commune with the dogs.
Medium-ish. Well, because you and I
it's
have
just that
very...
scene from Lady and the Tramp with you like barking out the window and hoping that they like.
Not Lady and the Tramp. You're thinking 101 Dalmatians.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You just like start getting through the dog network, try to get the answer.
Man, I like that Mr. Tibbs understands dog. Sergeant Tibbs, I'm so sorry. Because it would be odd. Would you consider like a bulldog then? Like an English bulldog?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay, that's going to be my guess then.
Okay, so English bulldog it is. Well, let's find out together if the landlord owns a bulldog and if they go to a place with a lot of death around it.
I just wrote scary place / death related, so I'm giving myself.
And if they go to a death related scary place, as we watch Series 6, Episode 9, Night Terrors.
Series 6, Episode 9, 69, baby. Yeah! Woo!
Today's episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by the Fright Bulb. Are things going bump in the night? Do shadows whisper your name from the closet? Then you need the Fright Bulb, the nightlight that says, "Not today, Satan!" The Fright Bulb is the only nightlight scientifically engineered to outshine regret, fear, and the actual sun. It's so bright, your nightmares will need SPF 100. Closet monsters, vaporized. Under the bed goblins, blinded. A single speck of darkness where so much as a flea could hide? Not with this old thing. The Fright Bulb, for when just a little light ain't gonna cut it.
Side effects may include mild retinal scorching, overconfidence, and being seen from space. The Fright Bulb, because darkness had its chance.
And we are back from Night Terrors. So what'd you think, Cassie?
What was the, there was a particular laugh that they would like reuse every so often that made me. Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah.
TikTok goes the clock. Not a Cassie favorite.
Not a Cassie favorite?
No, I did like this episode a lot. Okay. I am not okay. So back in the day.
Like there wasn't
story
any point.
Time. Back in the day. Shush, I'm talking. Back in the day, my sister and I would babysit for these two girls. Not like, oh, they were so little, so young, but their mom was a friend of ours, mm-hmm. like a family friend. And they had this a beautiful big house with lots of windows, scary, and these like very long, horrifying hallways. And down one of these long, horrifying hallways was something called a timeout doll. Did you ever experience a timeout doll? You weren't missing out on much. They were about 2 feet tall, and it was effectively
just too big for a doll.
It was 2 feet tall, and effectively it would just be a little. It looked like a little kid looked like a little kid that was like in the corner. You specifically put it in the corner. Why did you put it in the corner? Because it didn't have a face. Because it looked like it was on timeout. That's what these motherfuckers looked like. And I went, if we're dealing with timeout dolls. Because it would be in like full on human clothes, dude. You would mm-hmm. just turn it around and its little hands would lead up to nowhere.
Now, in this episode, they're called peg dolls.
Oh,
for what
my
it's worth.
God. No, it was the second a shot lingered a little bit too long on the doll, and then it just very slowly turned its head, which I think happens whenever I leave the room. All of my stuffed animals are like, huh.
There wasn't any moments where I specifically saw you like jump or scream or anything. I mean, because there were a few moments in this.
It's also a kids show.
Yeah. There's been a few times where we've watched it and you've been like, no.
I mean, you did hear me go, ugh.
But mostly what I watched was like you were like taking a note down and you'd like lift your pencil up, look at the screen, and then you would just like drop your pencil.
Yeah. That's my surprised face.
I think that note was notable, and it was the first time they opened a door and a doll was just standing there and you like slow turned to me.
It's the fact that they have these like bulbous heads, these stringy hair, and these faces that look like they were just painted on by birds.
Painted on by birds? What does that mean?
It's just so like dainty and light. Like there's no, they don't have these bold features. They're just very like.
It does.
Like if they made a sound, it would just be like a.
It does raise the question why there was a glass eye in one of the drawers if these dolls don't have eyes.
Because I was, I did figure that something was going on the second that they realized that the copper pot was made of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And then the silly lantern that Amy picked up, I went, okay, cool. We're in a dollhouse. Giant props for the ruin. And then later on, somebody picks up what to them is a giant pair of scissors. Love that. My God, I love oversized props.
Yeah, I kind of had a feeling you were going to like this episode. I don't think it was going to be like a Cassie favorite, but I do think it was going to be one of those where you were like, I walk away from this enjoying the experience. Yeah. Especially because, as we've described multiple times in the episode, George just looks like a human version of our cat Monty.
Oh my God.
Right down to the like numerous blinks he does.
And like, there is a part of me that is not charmed, but it's like they did a very good job at choosing a child that I am not at all threatened by. I want to protect this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And his OCD.
And his clear autism.
Oh my God. It was the turning the lights on and off 5 times and then repeating.
Please save me from the monsters.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I liked that quite a bit.
he's not like an amazing actor. I mean, he's a child, so there's only so far you can do. But and he serves this part of the story well.
He's a kid that is afraid.
Yeah, and
for what it's worth, he's not a human child.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
A Tenza.
Yeah, he's a Tenza or a cuckoo, as he's been called. There's just the idea that he's basically a. I don't know if they intended to do this, but it does give you the image that he's a giant bird alien. That just fly through the stars and adapt to civilizations.
I do like that they confirmed that redheads have no souls. Redheads not real.
Yeah, because when one of the...
when they are, they...
turn into dolls.
Yeah. They either turn into dolls, are going to work, or are aliens disguised as your child.
Yeah, so I don't know, because obviously the episode is good. I don't know why I would have had any trouble remembering it. I think, if anything, it suffers from being sandwiched between two really memorable episodes. Because the next episode is also one that I think we're going to get to, that's also like a standout for this run, I think. Don't want to dive into that too much, but I think that might be the only... I was trying to think about why, because you were right. I don't know why I thought it was because it was a horror one and it didn't stick with me, because it's clearly untrue. But I think it's
because
just,
it's not like, oh, so scary. It's playing upon fears that people already have.
Yeah.
Which is the dark shadows moving when you think that they're not going to.
Yeah.
Dolls.
And there's a part of it that I really appreciate on a rewatch that you may not pick up until you know what's going on. Because as they establish in the story, anyone that George is afraid of goes in the cupboard.
Yeah.
And so
anything.
Yeah. And so we see before anybody goes in the cupboard that he puts in the cupboard why they scare him first.
Well, we see that, and he even lists, or I think it's Alex lists, like he thinks that the old woman that lives across the way is a witch.
Yeah. And well, even then, before that, like in case you think maybe that was a different other woman, when she walks by,
oh,
she's
yeah.
got her loud, squeaky thing, and she's like coughing like a monster,
and she's talking to herself.
Yeah, talking to herself, and so he thinks that she's a monster, and so he puts her in the cupboard. The man who comes in and is like threatening his dad puts him in the cupboard.
That's the landlord.
And the landlord comes in and
with his English bulldog.
Yeah, you like 100% nailed that.
Thank
like,
you.
Could not
Thank
have
you.
More like bullseyed that one. Yeah.
Thank you.
For as stupid as my Profassi questions were this episode, you absolutely nailed that one. However, it was not a death related area at all. In fact, it was kind of the opposite. It was a scary place. It was the scariest place in the universe, a child's bedroom, as the doctor calls it. I just to for the sake of fairness, I would have also accepted something like in the closet under the bed.
I mean, scariest place in the universe in the closet is only pertains to queers.
Or Monsters Incorporated.
Or Monsters Inc. You're very accurate.
But I like the ultimate like moral of the story, for lack of, I don't know if moral is the right word.
That's my beef. I didn't get any like moral of the story other than face your fears.
For me, it was like, I mean, it wasn't like set up in the way that it was like a theme the whole way. But I did like that it was ultimately the question of this boy is an alien, but he is still your son. Like he is not. No, he is not human. You did not birth him, but you did adopt him, and he is your son. I mean, there's probably a way they could have like set it up maybe a little bit better, where if they had been more upfront with like them thinking of sending him away, or like, I didn't think my kid would be like this, these sorts of things. Maybe they could have set it up better. But I really like the climactic moment of him being like, what am I supposed to do? He's not even human. He's like, and then he still runs to him anyway, that he's his son. I thought that was just a nice little moment.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like the narrative of, because I had a conversation about this to somebody the other day,
mm-hmm.
about people that like look at and treat their pets like mm-hmm. they're their children.
Yeah.
This feels like that narrative, like this whole episode.
In what way?
Well, you're saying like you adopt something that is not inherently human.
Oh, okay.
But you gotcha. Make it your child.
Okay, now I understand.
And we're not reading between the lines here, Zach.
I mean, our cats are our babies.
Eh. They're roommates.
They need to pay rent if they're roommates.
I've been trying to.
One of them is a baker, for God's sake. She can.
I've been trying to, but every time I give them back their fucking phones, they just go on and play more Candy Crush.
Kitty Candy Crush. Kitty Kibble Crush. There's got to be something there.
My goodness. And then Monty's constantly on TikTok. TikTok goes the clock.
He cradled and he rocked her.
TikTok goes the clock, even for the doctor. What the fuck is that supposed to mean, Zach?
I mean, he does die at the beginning of the season.
I know. And I know that's, we just keep like putting that out there. The show keeps putting that in
That's the through line of this season.
Is that the doctor dies?
The doctor gets shot in Colorado. What a horrible place to die.
Colorado. But it's in like a beautiful lake.
Yeah. Lake Silencio, I believe.
Yeah.
By an astronaut. This show's weird.
Yeah, by an astronaut who is and isn't his wife / Rory and Amy's daughter.
So I'm watching Cassie sit here trying to solve the Rubik's Cube that is Doctor Who.
I did like when Amy and Rory wake up in the dollhouse. Rory goes, "We're dead again."
Like, he's just annoyed by it at this point.
I really liked that. I liked it so much I wrote it down.
I liked, there's a part early on where the doctor is trying to solve a Rubik's Cube and he just gives up saying they're rubbish.
They are.
He's like, "Thing's broken."
They are. I did like pantophobia, which isn't the fear of pants, but it is the fear of everything. So I guess it's the fear of pants.
They give Matt Smith some good ones in this one for sure.
They also do give him his little monologue moment.
Yeah, his like, "I'm from crimson stars and silent stars and crashing nebulas and blah, blah, blah. I'm from space. I'm an alien. Hello.
I heard the small boys cry from very far away. So it is important. Monsters are real." Okay.
See, I think all those, my favorite like little throwaway line is that the dad is like explaining all the things his kid's afraid of. And then it, like, offhandedly, the dad goes, "He hates crayons." And doctor goes, "Understandable."
I didn't even catch that because I remembered I was so immediately distracted by one thing. It was a throwaway line, but I'm going to be thinking about it forever. And I'm going to turn it into a bit right now. When the doctor says, like, "When I was your age, it was some 1,000 years ago, I love bedtime stories as well, like the Emperor Dalek's New Clothes
or Snow White and the Seven Keys to Doomsday."
Okay, but Zachary, do you like my new robe?
Do you like my bumps? I had them polished.
I had them made special.
I got a new plunger from Bed Bath and Beyond.
Do you like my new ornaments?
Decorate.
Decorate. Decorate. It just starts spinning this little like egg beater around a lot.
It starts so it spinning sparkles. Until it turns into one of those spinning Christmas trees.
No. I was going to say, you know those things that they are like a cellophane. It's like a stick and then there's like a cellophane bulb, but there's like slices cut in it. So when you spin it, it's like, phew, phew, phew.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I like your visualization of it, though.
Thank you. I don't know the name of them. They're like fairy wands, but it's a hard thing to describe. There's an interview where they give celebrities those, and I think Margot Robbie's messing around with it and breaks it and just goes, "Oh, no." Can I keep this?
On the subject of good lines from Matt Smith, they're talking, he's giving like the explanation of how he knows they're in a dollhouse because of the wooden food. And then the doctor's like, "So were they in a dollhouse or giant termites trying to get on the property ladder? Is that possible?" That almost feels like a Rick and Morty line.
Yeah.
Giant termites trying to get on the property ladder, Morty.
No, because they wouldn't even say that. They would just have the giant termites come in and then it would be a very sad episode about one of the termites having cancer.
Morty, we gotta get out of here. There's giant termites and they're having tea, Morty. They're having a heart-to-heart about cancer, Morty. We gotta get out of here.
Yeah, see, you're doing an impression that I can't do, so I can't yes and this bit.
Fair enough.
I'm still thinking about Emperor Dalek's new clothes.
I think you could see why I had trouble coming up with questions for this episode, because we're also having trouble talking about
you
this episode.
You genuinely could have asked me that there is a mention of child or like children's stories with a Doctor Who-y twist.
A Doctor Who-y twist. I do like the phrase Doctor Who-y twist.
Doctor Who-y in the news.
Who Doctor Who-y Lewis and the news. Who-y Lewis and the who's? Too many who's.
Now the doctor did say something particular about the cupboard, which is like, oh, it's just a cupboard. There's nothing to be scared of. And then I remembered a bit that I have.
Okay.
Where there are 10 Dybbuk boxes. Only 2 have been found. So I went, that right there is a Dybbuk box.
A Dybbuk cupboard.
Well, because then when he does a little ooh at it with his sonic screwdriver, it's off the scales.
Can I just get like a clean take of that? Yeah, I do. That's one really good pivot I like, where he's like doing his doctor thing where he's just they're trying to make a little boy feel better. And then all of a sudden he realizes with the cupboard, he's like, hang on. Like, that's one thing I really think worked about this episode is a lot of the beats felt very natural, like with the exception of just like the general premise of my son is a psychic alien who's put all his stuff in the dollhouse. Like the reactions are all pretty realistic. Like, I like that he's like, oh, you were here kind of fast, but I need help really bad, so I'm going to let you in. And then when he's like, the monsters are real, he's like, we're never going to get him to sleep now. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Like, this episode suffers from it being one that I don't really have any qualms with, which means that I don't have a lot to say about it.
Yeah. Well, it's also, you know, when you get to the end of it, you're kind of like, oh, all right.
Yep. Case closed. We're dusting our hands off. We're putting our shoes on. The old lady wakes up in the trash like a little raccoon.
Yeah, with a lot of like moving parts, it surprisingly like comes together really cleanly. Like there's a part of me that's I really appreciate this kind of story because this is like a nice like almost reset, if it makes sense. Like especially after the last episode where just like a lot of our season long plot happened in one episode.
Yeah.
This one was way more like, okay, we're going to get.
Well, because
we're just going to do a Doctor Who story.
There's other parts about the episode that as I'm ruminating on it and thinking about it, I like how each person, or in Rory and Amy's case, like they're a set of people, but I like how they get transported into the dollhouse because they were in the elevator and they just fall through the ground floor, it mm-hmm. seems. The landlord gets
sucked into the floor.
Yeah, he gets quicksanded into his floor. The old lady gets pulled into the trash.
Yeah, it's a very like, it's very creepy.
Very legitimate fears that I've had too, where it's like that is, as a child with anxiety, I'd always thought like, what if my floor turns into non-Newtonian fluid? And I sink to my death.
I understand that there's a very small chance that my atoms are supposed to be repelled by these other atoms and I can't just fly right through the empty space.
But what if?
But there's always a chance.
No, I genuinely have had that thought, though, dude.
No, that really is a real thing. There's in quantum physics, there is technically a chance that one day your atoms will just like shift out of space and you'll fall right through the crust of the Earth.
What? I so want that to be me. I just want some wacky wild shit to start happening.
Like you just like slide halfway through and then like you're just from the waist down, you're under a house like a Wicked Witch.
Yeah. Why not? Wouldn't that be so fun if my feet were in the basement, but my head was in the kitchen? So silly.
You'd be like a little Roomba.
Yeah.
Little Cassie Roomba.
Hey, you just have to sweep food into my mouth.
Yeah, but you still have your arms. You could still lift forks and spoons. Unless you just want me to sweep food into your mouth.
I mean, if you're going through, if that's the case, though, like, you could just build yourself out of the hole in the house. You're not fused with the house then. Although, it would be apropos for me, because my cute name in oh my God, that would have been really bad. I was about to say my cute name in Mexican. That's incorrect. My cute name in Spanish. You know mm-hmm. how like you'd be like like if you have a small dog, it's a perita.
Mm-hmm.
I'm casita. I'm small house. I'm a little house.
Like how a, so, like how a little, like how a little donkey is a burrito.
And you're a zaquito.
Bake me in the oven at 400. I'll come out crispy.
Yep. But yeah, this, like, there are not a lot of qualms I have. There are just little things that I'm like, big props.
Yeah.
We like that. Oh, there was some scary, like, backwardsy music that was playing with Amy and Rory when they started to realize that they didn't know where they were.
Yeah.
But then it got very plucky and silly, and I went, oh, well.
So just another, like, a little moment here. I really like Rory being like, you know, if this place was all lit up, we wouldn't be scared at all. It just feels like, yeah, that, putting lampshade on that one, I guess. But yeah, you're probably got a point there.
Yep.
Although if it was all lit up, you probably would have told it was a dollhouse.
The way that I have that thought anytime I watch somebody play PT, I'm like, this game is only scary because there is a red light and a flashlight. You got some like disco lights going on in there. That game's not scary at all.
I mean, there is still in PT, there's still like a chicken fetus in a sink and a woman that's hung herself in a
fridge
with flies swarming around it.
For it's okay. Could you imagine all that with disco lights?
Yeah, it's Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah. An abortion with disco lights would be so fun.
Actually, I'll send the messages to Planned Parenthood about that.
Yeah. I mean, you're already having to make this big decision.
Might as well dance while you're doing it.
Might as well, like, have it be, you know, a little... For those of you at home, I just popped my wrist in a gay way. But conceptually speaking, psychic alien that tricked you into bringing it into... Where are there others?
Yeah.
There are other cuckoo? Because that does have the same logic as like a replacement. There is some like fey logic to be had there.
Yeah, they even say that they're like they hatch by like in the group of 1,000 and just like scatter around the stars and they just find a home. Like, and they adapt to their society.
So is he already like 8 by the time that they find him, or does he change the shape to be a human baby?
He changes shape to be a human baby. They have a picture of him like as a newborn, quote unquote, just conveniently like a month after his mom was not pregnant. And then just,
yeah, like super very not pregnant.
Yeah. Like getting drunk at a party.
Like could not be more not pregnant.
Literally, the father even's like, she can't have kids. We tried everything. As much IVF as we could afford. God,
that's so much. They don't have a lot of money. That is so expensive to not have it work. Although
I don't know if it's different in the UK, because in the UK, a lot of they have public health care. So I don't
even
know.
Even still, IVF is expensive.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to be presumptive because I don't know their culture. But yeah,
their
for
culture.
Sure. As much as we could afford, which was like one try.
I was going to say, even if that's the case, even if it's as much as we can afford, maybe two maximum.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that I was really like hung up on afterwards was just like, how did this alien get in here?
Where did
this baby come from? Did it just appear on their doorstep and they went, oh,
basically, yeah.
Or did she?
I mean, probably the same way that they appear in the doll's house. It just makes it happen.
And that's the other thing. They just kind of I don't expect it to make a whole lot of sense because when they try to over explain things, it gets too mushy.
Yeah. I mean, I think they found like a nice we could sit here and like drill down and really be like, this doesn't make any sense. But like
we're also dealing with a space time lord.
Yeah. Space time lord with a police box that's bigger on the inside. Like at a certain point, you just kind of have to be like, OK. I don't
you
need
to
sit
be
here.
Be willing to accept the hooey gooey logic.
Yeah, yeah, the wibbly wobbly timey wimeyness of it all.
Yeah, the wibbly wobbly timey wimey bullshit. I was thinking about something, taking it way back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you said the other day, and I agree with you. I do think I would like Amy's little monologue and the beginning intro much better if it was sung. If they put some sick banjo music behind it, oh my god. Anyways, that's all I have to say about this one.
Yeah, next week will be a little more interesting because I think that's one of those the next week is one of those episodes that a lot of people talk about.
Are we killing Hitler again?
We're not killing Hitler again, but we'll get to that next time.
I just saw that it's called The Girl Who Waited.
Yeah, the girl who, because we've got because she that's what we call Amy right now. The girl who waited, and Rory is the last centurion, or the man, or the boy who waited. They both waited. A lot of waiting. And we'll find out what that's about.
A lot of waiting, even for you, dear listener.
And we'll find out all about that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Ew.
didn't like that at all, did you? Well, this was a nice quick one for a change. Hope you all had a good time. I have to take someone to the airport in the morning, and it's very late right now, so I'm just going to rush through this real quick, and hopefully we'll get it all done. You can find us on Blue Sky. We're at WIMDPOD, WIMDPOD. You can find us on Patreon. If you want to give us as little as $1 a month, you can get episodes of this podcast a week early. If you give us $5 a month, you can get a special thanks here in the credit, like I'm doing right now. Special thanks to Andrew Blewett and David Gansel, our Big Daddy Dalek patrons. Next week is The Girl Who Waited. Hopefully I won't keep you waiting. So we will see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Who's Days.